Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you live to eat, or do you eat to live? Personally, I'm very fond of food, and I probably lean toward living to eat. I enjoy eating good food and in the company of good people. Certainly, people will lean on one side or the other of this question, but really, both are quite true. Life is a gift to us to be enjoyed, and part of enjoying life is eating. However, we must also eat to live. Few of us could survive more than a few days without food. We must eat to sustain our bodies. However, the question, do you live to eat or eat to live, applies not only to physical eating, but to spiritual eating as well. And the spiritual answer to this question in light of today's text is that you also do both. You live to eat, and you eat to live. With eagerness and great joy, we gladly eat by receiving in faith all that God graciously gives us in the bread of life, Jesus Christ. However, we also know that we greatly need to be spiritually fed, for without spiritual food, our faith would fade and wither, like our bodies would without food. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." However, the Jews sharply argued about how Jesus could give his flesh to eat and failed to see how simply God chooses to come to us. In fact, they were so offended at the simple condition of Christ's human nature that they did not perceive in him anything divine or anything heavenly. However, we know from the Gospels that Christ's divine majesty and the rays of his brightness were not so concealed or hidden from them under the appearance of flesh. Jesus did many things that were evidence of his divinity, including his most recent act, the feeding of the 5,000. However, these gross and stupid men only wanted to see his blatant glory. And this is exemplified by the question they asked earlier. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They refused to see in Jesus anything more than the earthly son of Joseph and Mary. They did not see him as the heavenly God incarnate, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. No, the Jews who came to Capernaum only sought immediate glory and visible signs from Jesus. They didn't want an eternal spiritual king. They wanted an immediate earthly leader like Moses, or a king like David or Solomon. They simply wanted manna. They only wanted their stomachs filled. And being so temporally minded, they were not hungry for the greater eternal gift Jesus came to bring them. Could the earthly plate of manna be a temptation for you as well? As some of you seminarians await your vicarage and call assignments this coming Sunday and Monday evening, you may want others to think that you're truly thinking about spiritual matters, but let's be honest, you're thinking a lot about temporary manna as well. Where will I go? Where will I live? What's my income? Will I be able to support my family? As one pastor once told me, yes, pastors ought not be greedy for filthy lucre, but it sure would be nice to have a little lucre now and then. What will the people be like? What will my supervisor be like? In the midst of these earthly manna questions, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Some of you fellow pastors and professors like me are also tempted by earthly manna. We too are anxious over many earthly troubles. In the midst of these, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When we hear others admire our being at the seminary, either studying here or leading or teaching, serving in the Lord's kingdom, we swell with pride. When we think that we are the ones that will solve all the problems of the church and bring peace, then we feed off our own ego and our position. The truth is, all of us are puffed up with pride, as were the Jews in Jesus' day. Yet even when we gorge and fill ourselves on our own self-glory, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In contrast to the self-made meal, look again at the meal God offers you in the person of Jesus Christ. To eat of him is to live forever, because he went and suffered on the cruel cross and rose again from the dead. We need not hunger for today's manna, nor worry about it, nor do we need to be consumed with ourselves. By his cross, Christ satisfies us and frees us from the need of pursuing earthly manna, and frees us from the chains of self-love. Through Jesus' selfless suffering, agony, and death on the cross, all of our problems are actually consumed in his flesh, given for the life of the world. In Jesus, we are full and satisfied, at peace through the forgiveness of sins and the certainty of life everlasting. To feed on the bread of life is simply this: to believe in Jesus Christ. But note again how God reveals himself to us. He disguises himself in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Remember from the scriptures that it was impossible for God to reveal his total, glorious divinity with Moses. That's why God told Moses, "No one may see me and live." When Moses asked to see God, he only saw God's hiddenness, his backside, as he passed by. Moses also saw God's hiddenness in the burning bush and the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. But again, Moses only saw God's hiddenness. Well, hidden in this man, born very humbly in Bethlehem and ridiculed by fellow Jews, was not just the son of Joseph and Mary. Here was God hidden in the flesh, and because he gave up his flesh, it is effective not just for one, but for all, for the entire world. When Jesus states, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world," he is distinguishing his flesh from our flesh. There is divine power hidden in his humanity. Although only human flesh and blood are visible, faith sees a man filled with God. That's why Martin Luther had quite a bit to say to the fanatics and schismatics in his day who seemed to stumble here and dismiss God's ability to dwell in flesh, or for that matter, be present, even in the Lord's Supper. They quoted, "The flesh counts for nothing." But Luther countered this, affirming the fact that, yes, our flesh does count for nothing, but our flesh is not like Christ's flesh. Luther says this, "These words of Christ, my flesh, should be imprinted into man's heart with large and bold letters. Man, however, will not look at this word, my." Here, my means, I am God and God's Son. My flesh is divine, the flesh of God. Our Lord says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Do you live to eat? Or do you eat to live? Do you want real food for your soul to sustain your hidden life? Receive the bread of life, Jesus Christ, in the way he is hidden for you now. He comes softly through the spoken word heard with your ear, simply through the cool water applied to your skin, and humbly through the tangible bread and wine placed in your mouth. Many people will cross your lives throughout your ministry, and some of them will seem that they only eat to live, just obtaining enough of the means of grace so as not to starve. However, I pray that you will always live to eat, enjoying every bit and portion of the bread of life which you share with God's people, so that they may not only eat to live, but live to eat. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.